Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever. Still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind me closer still.
At the conclusion of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, we find these words. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I'm going to begin this morning where the Apostle Paul came to a conclusion in his letter. And I'm going to offer you this morning a kind of devotional and words of encouragement, words of a reminder. It's good to be put in memory of various things, and I believe this morning this is what we will seek to do. As I was preparing and considering what I would share this morning, I followed my thoughts upstairs to a room, and in that room I found a box, and in that box I found many books, and those books belonged to my mother. They came into my possession about 10 years ago when my mother left us. Many of her possessions came to me, and among them was this box of books. And as I looked through the box, I found three books in particular that drew my attention, and I'll refer to those three this morning. Two of these books were Bibles. The other book was a book of selected poems. Now, the first Bible was a large family Bible. It's contained in a clear plastic envelope or a plastic bag. The pages are loose inside. It's very difficult to open the Bible without the pages falling from it. This is the Bible I remember as a boy, a small boy. It was in better condition then, and I would take this Bible from time to time and put it on my lap and open it, and I enjoyed looking at the pages because it was a large Bible and had many colored pages of Bible events and biblical characters. And so I recall doing this as a small boy. This was the first book that drew my attention. At the beginning of this book is my parents' testimony and when they came to know Jesus, when they were born in this earth and when they were born into the kingdom of heaven. So it's a book of history as well. And the second book also is a Bible, only this is a very small Bible with very small print. And if there was a time in my life that I could have read from that Bible without glasses, that time is long since passed. This Bible is of special interest to me because it was presented to my mother by my oldest brother John, and he gave it to his mother as a Christmas gift at Christmas 1956. John would have just turned 18 years old at that time. At the beginning, of course, at the first page of the Bible, he addresses it to his mother and the date and the occasion. And then he writes these words, "The law must be administered in love to come out justice." As I read that, I realized I am reading the words of a young man of 18, just turned 18. Later on, he would have a radio broadcast and he would entitle it Campbell Comment. And he would comment on the events of the day as a radio broadcaster. And I found it very interesting that this is among some of the earliest Campbell comments is, "The law must be administered in love to come out justice." Also at the beginning of this Bible, he writes in to his mother the word experience, page 175. And as I followed through in this Bible to page 175, I found myself reading a passage from the Old Testament of the Bible that, in hindsight, I see very clearly my brother was referencing and relating this passage of Scripture to his own life and to his own experience. And I can only say this without going into any detail. I can only say that since it is true that coming events cast shadows, that we should be alert, more alert than we are, to the shadows that we are capable of seeing, because those portray or those suggest to us that an event is coming. And as I read this passage that is referenced on page 175, I could see very clearly that my brother was drawing this passage and relating it to his own experience and to himself. And I can see that he was in a position where he was in need of assistance. And I believe that assistance did not come. The third book that drew my attention is a book of selected poems. This book is called Apples of Gold. This was a book of poems that was put together or compiled by John R. Rice in 1960. And very interesting, I'm going to present this beginning at the first few poems from this book of poems. And by the way, there are 153 poems. And I wonder if you can guess why there would be 153 poems. The reason it's called Apples of Gold, it references Proverbs 25 and verse 11, where it says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." And so it's very clear that the answer to the why 153 poems, obviously this is a reference to the great catch of fish that Peter pulled up onto the shore. And these were great fish, and it was a miracle of Jesus. And the number is given in the scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 21, as 153. Obviously, 153 poems were selected in reference to that portion of scripture. And so I'll begin with the very first poem in this book of poems, and this is entitled The Bible. And this particular poem is called First Bible. A little boy's first Bible is the greatest thrill he's known. There's a sweet, unique excitement in a Bible all his own. And yet my heart is smitten as this touching sight I see. Has his reverence for that Bible depended much on me? As I see him with his Bible, I bow my head and pray. May he always love that Bible the way he does today. Then I hear a voice within me speak in solemn words and true. How he cherishes that Bible will depend a lot on you. I love my Bible better since I've seen the beaming joy this wonderful possession has afforded to my boy. May I seek to give mine daily a devotion he can see. For the love he bears his Bible will depend a lot on me. The second poem, also under the heading of the Bible, is this. It's called A Bible Study. Would it not be a foolish thing to die of thirst with this clear spring of living water at my feet? To starve when there is bread and meat and wine before me on the board, a table spread by my dear Lord. And would we think he has much sense who hoarded only copper pence when at his feet and all around were diamonds sparkling on the ground? The first poem I read is from the United Presbyterian, and this second, again titled Bible Study, is a poem by Martha Snell Nicholson. And then I found this one, which is the fourth poem in this book of 153 poems. It's titled My Mother's Bible. And I was just looking at two of my mother's Bibles. This book is all that's left me now. Tears will unbidden start. With faltering lip and throbbing brow, I press it to my heart. For many generations past, here is our family tree. My mother's hand, this Bible clasp, she, dying, gave it to me. Ah, well I do remember those whose names these records bear, who round the hearthstone used to close after the evening prayer, and speak of what these pages said in tones my heart would thrill. Though they are all with the silent dead, here they are living still. My father read this holy book to brothers, sisters dear. How calm was my poor mother's look, who loved God's word to hear. Her angel face, I see it yet. What thronging memories come. Again that little group is met within the halls of home. Thou truest friend man ever knew, thy constancy I've tried. Where all were faults, I found thee true, my counselor and guide. The mines of earth no treasure give that could this volume buy. In teaching me the way to live, it taught me how to die. And this poem was by George Morris. And so I scanned through and I found these poems to be very, very encouraging. I wanted to share them with you this morning. The final poem that I will present to you. It's very interesting that this is not the first, but this is the final poem. So that would be poem number 153 in this small book. The poem was written by Strickland Gilliland, and it is titled Watch Yourself Go By. Very interesting. Watch Yourself Go By. And I'm going to close. I'll not take a lot of time this morning. I'll just share these with you by way of encouragement and to point out the things that we do well to remember, the things that we should think about, the things that we should hold in our thoughts and focus on. And some of these are very simple things that we have heard and we have held before us for many years. And so I'll share this final poem this morning as I come to a conclusion. Just stand aside and watch yourself go by. Think of yourself as he instead of I. Note closely as in other men you note, the bag-kneed trousers and the seedy coat. Pick flaws, find fault, forget the man as you, and strive to make your estimates ring true. Confront yourself and look you in the eye. Just stand aside and watch yourself go by. Interpret all your motives just as though you looked in one whose aims you did not know. that undisguised contempt surge through you when you see you shirk. O commonest of men, despise your cowardice, condemn whate'er you note of falseness in you anywhere. Defend not one defect that shames your eye. Just stand aside and watch yourself go by. And then, with eyes unveiled to what you loathe, to sins that with sweet charity you'd clothe, back to your self-walled tenement you'll go, with tolerance for all who dwell below. The faults of others then will dwarf and shrink, love's chain grow stronger by one mighty link, when you with he as a substitute for I have stood aside and watched yourself go by. The small Bible that Brother John gave to his mother at Christmas 1956. I wondered if Mom could have read it because the print was so small. So I leafed through the Bible rather quickly, and I found that she had underlined various portions, indicating obviously that she had read it. Among the passages underlined, I found especially well underlined were Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And so I'll read this passage with you this morning as I close. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we have had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are enthroned in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those who did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then. But now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as if created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And let me just add, in a very real way, this is happening right now. You want to understand the events that are occurring right now? Then read this verse 27. Yet once more denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as if created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And then this verse, verse 28. Mom had underlined this so clearly. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I opened this morning with Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, sung by the Heralds, and is from their album, The Way We Wear. I'm closing this morning with There Is a Place of Quiet Rest, and this is sung by the Dallas Christian Adult Concert Choir, and this is from their album, I Need Thee Every Hour.